This is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio. Presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well, if it's 11 o'clock on a Wednesday, it must be the Wexinator, except for when we had to push him off to Friday because of situations that occurred. But welcome, of course, Jim Wexel from Steel City Insider. And Wex, it's good to have you here, brother. Go ahead, take it.
I was just going to say I'm really out of my game on Fridays, but here I am out of my game on Wednesdays already. Sorry, boy. Go ahead.
You know, the whole thing about it is it's kind of like we were just getting over Franco, and then to witness what happened, the other night with DeMar, it's just like a rough little constellation of things happening here that just, it hurts, it just hurts.
I know. I don't want to diminish any of that. But there are other people going through a lot of pain, too.
That's very true. Very true.
I hesitate to overshadow some of what else is going on. There's some other stuff, and you probably know, and I don't want to get into it, and it's close to the Steelers, and when they feel like releasing that news, but so a lot of stuff's been on my mind.
Yeah, there is. And it's difficult. So you've got a team now that has turned from 2-6 to a turnaround of 6-2. One of the hardest feats that you could possibly imagine is to drag a team from 2-6 thinking that, you know what, we're not getting better, we're getting worse, and then turn it around and kick them in the pants and lead the way, and all of a sudden you're sitting there at 8-8 with a possibility of doing what you couldn't conceive of a mere 8 weeks ago.
That's all fantastic, and the fact that they have a shot is surprising and just fun.
Yeah.
But more importantly, they're headed in the right direction. And I'm more excited about this rebuild than the post-aught era. The post-Max Starks era. I think in that
How
era...
How do you replace Max? That's it. Exactly. You can't.
Well, that was the problem. And, there was still a lot of... I don't want to say know-it-all, but they really were more... smug maybe in that rebuild, in that some were still there and some allegedly knew how to do this and this is how we do things, and it didn't work. And also in the playoffs it was one superstar or another who was missing, and sometimes multiple superstars. And I'm much more excited about this group, this potential here. The rebuild. When Max came, Max turned it around. When he came in 2004, they went from 6-10 to 15-1 once they drafted Max. And he could probably speak.
Who else was it in that draft class with him?
Some guys. Ricardo Coakley, I think, was in there.
Yeah. There was a Nathaniel Adebe. I don't know if
Adebe,
y'all remember
Adebe.
That.
Yeah. Right. Well, yeah. I do know one thing about that. Dick Hoke pounded the table for Michael Turner, who was a really good running back for a few years at San Diego. And I know a guy named James Harrison was pounding the table for anybody but an outside linebacker because he kept getting cut. They didn't realize what they had there. They didn't need a DB. They really could have used
Michael.
There
was somebody else, though. Who was that? What was it? 04? What was that?
Willie Parker was a street free agent.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Out of college, in case you were wondering.
Are we forgetting somebody, though, that's really kind of ginormous?
But But
Eric
Max,
Green. He was big. He was a D tackle.
There's nobody more ginormous than Max Starks.
That is true.
That's true. But I just want to say.
No, Max can speak. I know, Ben. I know.
No,
Ben.
You got
to
go.
Trying
ben
to ignore
Roethlisberger.
Him. He's got a 2.5-hour podcast. He can talk about it all he wants.
Yeah.
But, you know, Max may be able to speak on this better than I, but. There was a team that went from losing, and in the late 90s, they lost a lot. There was more wonderment. There was more, probably more, I'm going to listen to the coach. And the coach was more desperate. And, you know, that group blossomed. And that next group after the 2010 Super Bowl, after the defense needed rebuilding, and then when Max left the line needed rebuilding, there was probably some smugness still. We know how to do this. We're the Steelers. And everybody still had the target. They were really bullseyeing them. This group doesn't have that. This is all – they've been ridiculed in town. They've been ridiculed maybe even by their family, you know, 2-6 start. But there is a lot of potential here. And – you know, they can really build something now that there's more money. The money flow is better.
Mm-hmm.
They can get a couple key pieces, and they have that draft pick from the Bears that's going to really help. And so I'm excited about this rebuild. I like the quarterback. I like what's happening with the offensive line. I like the skill players. The defense has championship staples. You know, there's 3 or 4 really, really good players on defense. So I'm excited about what's happening beyond the potential to get in the playoffs.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, Wex. I think that's kind of where, you know, we're looking, is that even if you don't make the playoffs, right? It's just great to have that percentage in there. Just where they've grown and what we've gotten to watch it live in person, right? We've got to watch them literally grow in front of our eyes. Within one season. I mean, a tale of two seasons, right? Before the bye and after the bye, you know, you've seen a different team, a team that looks like they've been through some things, that guys have some experience under their belt. You know, just, I mean, what does it say for Coach Tomlin in the midst of this rebuild that you're able to still get to this point?
I had no doubt that he would not lose the team.
Right.
And that's what he does best. Just by his habits, just by the little things he does. And he explained yesterday in the press conference about, you know, they said, "Well, how did you do it? What did you do?" He said, "I don't really think I had a plan. We just every day practice." And I think we talked about it on this show. You know, I think, Wolf, you said, how are they going to win 4 in a row, Wex? And I said, well, let's start with a good practice today.
Right.
You know?
That's true.
And that's what they did. And that's what he does. And he doesn't lose his players. He doesn't chew them out in front of the world. He didn't, you know, Marcus Allen, although he did chew Terrell Edmonds out in front of me because he looked at me and said, "Why don't you guys rip this guy the way you did Marcus Allen last week?" Because Terrell ran onto the field and gave him that 15-yard penalty. Now, somebody ran onto the field this week again.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
My gut's telling me it was Marcus Allen, and I don't know if this info will ever get leaked to anybody, if it was Marcus Allen again.
Wow.
You know, you remember, I mean, there was not enough time left for it to matter this time.
Right, but still,
an inactive player ran onto the field to celebrate like Terrell Edmonds did the previous week, which almost cost them or could have cost them. What I do like about what Mike Tomlin's done with this team is he's done it his way. You know, he came in 2007, said he wants to build a team that can win by attrition, a physical team, and he was already on the verge of a Super Bowl. He just had to, for one, not mess around with the defense. Two, fine tune it. You know, keep the motivation up. He had to do his you know, not lose the team thing, practice and focus every day to win that championship. He didn't have to build that team, though. And now, you know, he is building it, I think, the way he wanted to when he first came in, a physical running team with a good enough quarterback and good enough receivers to pass, to actually be able to do whatever he needs to do each week. But if you don't build a physical team, you can't just say, oh, we're going to run through this team this week. Right. You really have to have the parts. And I think he's built that offense. I think it's there. Now you just need more, you know, more chunk plays.
Boy, did we get some chunk plays, didn't we, in this last game? I mean, think about this. I mean,
Steven Sims, hold my beer, 28-yard catch. What a way to put that, Wolf.
Oh,
I love that.
You know what? I was just watching these guys, and it was like they were one up in each other with these tremendous chunk plays. Whether it was Najee starting off with a 15-yard run, or Pickens' 15-yard monster catch, or you had Deontay with the 21-yarder, or you got Steven Sims with that incredible catch. And by the way, what a throw that was. If you look at the end zone from behind, I don't know how Kenny got that in there, that window. That was a short window. But, man, the young guns are really coming through, are they not, Jim?
They do, and they have the potential to continue this chunk play. But they also, I mean, that offensive line, I really like what's happening there. Mm-hmm. I don't know that you need to use draft capital there. I think you can just add to that defense – And fill in some spots. You know, you've got Minka, TJ, and Cam. That's the three levels. I know TJ's kind of on the same level as Cam, but at each level there's a superstar.
Mm-hmm.
And now you can hit him with three draft picks. Boom, boom, boom. And now you can really start building a special defense to go along with your physical offense that has skill players that have yet to blossom, like Pickett and Pickens. And Najee's blossoming, too. And Warren. And Freiermuth.
Yeah.
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 It's exciting.
You've got a lot of young people. And I didn't hear you guys talk about the chunk play of Jalen Warren on the Jets.
Yes, boom. I forgot about
that. That one right there I thought was one of the biggest catalysts in the game. Early on, that gave the Steelers the momentum and the confidence – when he reeled off that big run, something he'd never done before. So, I mean, I think of that type of stuff, and like you said, there's a lot of great explosive pieces. I do agree you still need to build the depth of that offensive line. You know, obviously I like JC and I like JC's flexibility, but you still need some depth because, you know, knock on wood, yep. You know, you don't want that injury bug to hit you. And that's what the contingency of the insurance plan is, right? You got to just build some depth on the offensive line in case, you know, nobody buys insurance expecting to actually have to use it all the time, but it's in case things happen.
Sure.
And so I think you have to have those type of insurance policies, you know, in place. I mean, obviously we still need depth at the outside backer position, outside of TJ and Alex. There's going to be a lot of, you know, a lot. We'll dive into that a lot more. But production for the class year, I think, you know, what grade would you give it thus far for the 2022 draft class and their participation level in this season?
Man, it's I don't want to say it's great, but at least it's going to go down as one of the more underrated classes. You know, nobody really talks much about the 1971 draft because of the 74 draft.
Mm.
And there are some other drafts. What was 2002? You had Brett Kiesel as a seventh round pick. I mean, you look at drafts like that, and, you know, Mark Robinson's a seventh round pick in this one. Connor Hayward's a sixth round pick. Both of those guys are pieces. I mean, those guys are going to become somebody. I genuinely believe that, especially Connor. I mean, we see the special skills he brings. And, you know, for a small tight end / fullback / tailback, he sticks his nose in there and blocks.
Mm-hmm.
And let's give a little shout-out to Gunnar Olszewski on that 31-yard run you were talking about from Warren. Gunnar blocked three guys with one he threw his body in there. I mean, some of these guys are getting the understanding of physical ball, even the slot receivers. And, you know, Miles Boykin's a guy you hold on to, too, because he's really a good blocker. But this draft class, there were six rookies that were frontline players in this game. I don't want to say Connor Hayward may have started officially, but even if he didn't, he was a frontline guy. Mark Robinson started. That's two. Pickens, that's four. Jaylen Warren's five. And who was Leal? DeMarvin Leal.
DeMarvin, yes.
That's another really interesting player right there.
Yes.
So this draft class, you know, it's nobody can say any draft class is 74 caliber, but this could be looking at like 1971 type.
Let me ask you this. If you, Jim Wexel, wrote on the clock Pittsburgh Steelers behind the scenes with the Pittsburgh Steelers at the NFL draft 20 years from now, do you think you'd be tagging 2022 as a functionally very good draft or excellent draft? What do you think?
Oh, well, you know, it's got a quarterback. So, and Pickens, I don't see him faltering. So I'm going to. No, I don't know. I can't say excellent right now. Nobody can say excellent.
Right.
But, man, really good draft class. Kevin Colbert's last class looks to be special. Yeah.
If you update it, that's what it's going to be. Yeah.
The only other thing will be to see how Calvin Austin, when he comes back next year, what his production looks like. Because that's a guy that we often forget was another part of this draft class. But – obviously, he had some great training camp footage. He did not make it to the regular season.
Yeah. So,
and that speed, my goodness. He's one of those 4.3ers, right?
Yes.
Can't coach it.
Can't coach it. But you sure can love the way it tears the top off the coverage. That's what you can do. But, yes, exactly so. I'm really interested in seeing if they can – and I watched Mike Tomlin as he was – being asked yesterday about Mark Robinson and his comfortability. And I loved his, you know, he was so real. He was just like, comfortable. I didn't say I was comfortable.
Who said I'm comfortable?
I thought that was amazing. But, you know, you think about it, Mark Robinson does present some good things. When you watch him specifically in his attacking downhill, there was a couple. One of the great things he showed was an anticipation. As soon as he needed to fire his gun, he'd fire it. And that anticipation and being able to create a pileup on aisle five when you could you should attack. When you know you got to beat that offensive lineman to the spot on the field. The thing that Ray Lewis does just so very well. I've always admired Ray Lewis, and the one thing I thought he was so tremendous at was beating the guy to the spot, his ability to, you know, to read an offense. And in very small, tiny sample, and certainly not anything compared to Ray Lewis, but Mark Robinson has that sort of at least anticipation in limited snaps that we've seen.
Yeah, I took a lot of joy in seeing one of the analysts, an NFL guy I follow on Twitter. I forget who it was. It might've been Jeff Schwartz, who said, this guy looks like Harrison out there. And I had said that in the spring, the way he runs.
Right.
And his demeanor, of course. But you know, two different positions, but I see a Harrison in him, and Harrison used to be a running back too. But as Harrison said, we all think we're running backs.
I didn't hear that one. That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the same thing was with Troy as well, right? Because Troy was
exactly.
Like, I want to run football. And that's why Coach Cower eventually put him in the victory formation way back. Like, hey, you want to line up at running back? There you go, Troy. We need you on defense.
And you know what? Troy loved it. It was an opportunity. It never happened, but you never know. God willing, right?
Yeah. There's always a chance if you're in the game.
Oh, man. Jim Wexel, I want to thank you so much for joining us. Thanks, always a pleasure. You are a great friend of the locker room. And, again, it's On the Clock, Pittsburgh Steelers, behind the scenes with the Pittsburgh Steelers at the NFL draft. You can get that. What, Amazon and all places that carry books?
You can get it autographed at jimwexel.com.
There you go. That's even better.
That's the most important one.
All right.
It's great talking playoff talk with you guys. I tell you, that's fun.
Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. All right, Wex. Take care. We look forward to next week. All right, we'll see you at the ball yard.
Take us away, man.
All righty. That was Jim Wexel. And no, I guess you have to deal with Wolf and I on the next segment. I'm sorry.
That's it. That's all there is.
Yeah. Well, and there is Wes. You know, we can always pitch to Johnny at any point. You know, we could have Wes Aoki.
Pitch to Johnny? You can't pitch to Johnny. I'm Johnny.
Always, always pitch to Johnny. When in doubt, pitch to Johnny. In fact, we should get little braces that say WWJD. What would Johnny do?
Or Johnny on the spot.
He is Johnny on the spot. And by the way, did we tell you that the Steelers Week in Review drops every Tuesday? And in fact, there was an episode dropped yesterday with, of course, the one, the only Wesley Euler, detailing the previous game, which was the Ratbirds, and also previewing the Brownies. And remember, maritime law at all times. If it's yellow, let it mellow, but if it's brown, flesh it down. You're in the locker room with Wolf and Starks here on ESPN and SNR Radio.
This is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio. Presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Shotgun snap. Four-man rush. Fires for the end zone. Touchdown, George Pickens! And the Steelers forge ahead with just 46 seconds left. Pickett to Pickens. Pickett in the gun. Empties the set, third eight at the 10, gets the snap. He looks, chased out of the pocket, steps out of a tackle, throws it for the goal line, touchdown Najee Harris! Najee from 10 yards out, and Pickett did a Houdini to make that play possible. And the Steelers jump ahead of Baltimore.
Great calls by Billy. Of course, Chili Billy getting it done. And the young man that did it, that would of course be Kenny, the Sundance Kid Pickett. He was on the move, and there's Next Gen Stat Max, I got to tell you. They said Pickett was 6 of 9, 67 yards in the game-winner, game-winning TD when throwing on the run. He now has three fourth-quarter comebacks this year, most for a rookie quarterback since Gardner Minshew in 2019, and set an NFL record by throwing back-to-back game-winning touchdowns in the last minute of the game. In back-to-back games, Raiders and Ravens. Man, you can't say enough about where this young man is going, can you?
No, you can't. And just make sure we always play him against teams that start with R as well.
Excellent. Nice.
Yeah, or historically an R, because, I mean, Commanders are now Commanders. Obviously, they used to be a team with an R. We can lump them in there when we eventually play them in the next 3 years. I think it's tremendous. What you see the growth, you see the steely resolve that Kenny has. We saw it on display on Monday night, right? Coming back against the Colts. And then, of course, to see it in back-to-back fashion like this. The only prayer, Wolf, though.
Yes.
Is that we don't have to make it so tight all the time.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be nice to cruise in with a three-touchdown lead, you know, in the fourth quarter?
I mean, you know, I won't even go that far. Just 17, you know? I mean, two touchdowns and a field goal. Just make it a three-score game. You know what I'm saying? I mean, a little bit of – I'll even take a 10-point lead. I'll take a 10-point lead. I'm fine with that. But, yeah, I mean, it's tremendous that, you know, we talked about this. Building a book of experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny Pickett is doing that.
Yes.
And when you say, hey, gotta have it, that this is the stuff that legends are made of.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
This is the stuff where when you're talking about guys 4, 5, 6, 7 years down the line, it's like, man, another fourth quarter, gotta have it drive. We got it. Gotta have it. We took it. And that's what... You know, obviously it stresses us out being on the media side of this, sideline and booth, of course, not immune, where you're like, man, where was this play earlier? But I'm glad it happened right now. Like, you're always torn. But it's such a good progress for growth. It's like throwing some Miracle-Gro on top of a plant that you've been watering, but you have not seen a single bloom. You haven't even seen that little green stem come up.
Did I ever tell you I tried to get Miracle-Gro on my head? It didn't do anything for my hair.
Well, yes. Cause you
better
didn't put
say
any seeds
I was jesting before some people could think I was being serious.
You didn't put seeds on there, Wolf. That's why the Miracle-Gro didn't work. You're just very fertile hair follicle-ish land. Sorry.
Uh-oh. Heimlich. Yeah.
Went down the wrong pipe.
Well, hate when that happens.
But no, I mean, yeah, you got to put seeds on there if you want it to grow. It's like chia, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got to put the little, yeah, you know, you got to put that little spread on top of it. You know, they got the Bob Ross one. You should try it on your head. Well, just spread that chia mix and just see what happens. I would love to see you with like a green mohawk. That would be awesome.
Oh my goodness.
Chia.
Could you see my face, my wife Faith, her face when I walked through the door with a green mohawk?
Yeah, exactly. And then you know what you say, hon? It's edible. It's edible.
Yeah, here we go. You want some greens?
You want to sprinkle this on your salad? Microgreens? Huh? It's good for you.
Oh my goodness.
I'm a walking herb garden. No. I'll season my food myself, my good man. Thank you. Pluck it right off the top of your head? No.
Really, really. But think about it. You know, Kenny has really come along. You know, and I'm excited because, again, it portends to things much greater in the future. I look at this young man. He just is, you know, you've seen him on the sidelines before these big moments happen. He apparently is nobody's impervious to, you know, pressure and stuff like that, but they deal with it better than others.
That's right. You know, listen, nobody will ever be 100% cool with it, but those who can thrive in the face of adversity, well, we'll just say they usually have pretty good NFL careers.
Yeah. Again, I go back to you guys in the, what was it, 05 in Indy? When you guys at the RCA Dome, you know, and minutes before, seconds before Ben goes out on the first series, and he's telling jokes to the chain gang there, you know, I couldn't believe it, you know, because I'm thinking he's not understanding the pressure of the moment, and yet that's his way of handling the moment, you know?
Exactly. Some people have different ways of diffusing the situation, right?
Yes.
We talk about uncorking the bottle. Right, you can pour in the bottle, but eventually the bottle has its breaking point. Some people uncork differently to let it out, to give you some breathing room. Ben's is really bad dad jokes before he was a dad. Like, horribly bad dad jokes. but once again, play loose, feel loose, you know, you can't have a substitute for it. I mean, I would make cheesy remarks too when I played. But, you know, hey, sometimes the cheesy remarks sound like good remarks, like in the Super Bowl. I was saying we're built for this. And people could have made a lot of jokes about how we were built on our offensive line.
Right.
But I think that's what makes it special, right? And those are some of the insights into great leaders. You know, finding joy in an unjoyous moment. Relishing in the opportunity to compete, seeing a challenge, accepting the challenge, and then accomplishing the task, even with all the obstacles in front of you. And everybody saying that you shouldn't be able to do this, and you should not do this, and you will not do this, you still find a will and a way. And I think that's just, you know, because there's always these, I watch a bunch of TED Talks.
Okay.
And they're always talking about, how do you build resiliency? How do you build grit? What is grit? And I just think of these moments, right? It's like when the odds are stacked against you, it's so easy to go left and you choose to go right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the road's paved. it's nice and comfortable. Nobody will fault you if you lose. You know, here's loser lane. But you're like, nah, I want to go to the right highway. But it's on a different level. You got to climb up this muddy hill. It's been raining all day. How are you going to get there? I don't care. I want to be on the right highway. So you climb and you trudge, and that's what builds the grit and resiliency, not being taken off of your goals and your tasks at hand and not seeking comfort in those moments, right? Running towards the fight instead of running away from the fight. Like that's one of the hallmarks. I think your fight or flight syndrome is strong, or you just don't even know what flight is, except for an airplane. You know what I'm saying? Like that. That's when you've got the good stuff, and that's what we're building around here. And to do this with such young pieces, Wolf.
Yes.
I think is the other hallmark of this. Not gonna say it's easier with vets. But at least when you have some been there, done that, there's a little bit of confidence there. But these kids just got blind confidence in their leaders because they don't have it. Kenny Pickett doesn't have, you know, fourth quarter game-winning drives that he's watched and that he's, you know, grown from. He's went out there and created them.
Right. No doubt.
And all of that being self-sufficient, being a self-starter, will bode well for your NFL career if you stick to the script, and Kenny Pickett is sticking to the script.
He is indeed. You know, again, and here's the thing that it just amazes me is the fact that this young man is able to get these guys going to the point where you got more chunk plays in this one game against the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, the Steelers were last in the NFL in 15-plus yard chunk plays. You know, and yet, by my count, there's at least six of them that they ripped off, you know, in this one game alone. You know what I mean? Everything from the Jaylen Warren to the Najee Harris and, you know, the bookend runs on it. And he just – I'm excited about the potential here as it moves forward because it does speak to me that now things are starting to come together and that things could really manifest itself in big ways in the future. Let's hope. You know, I mean, that's what it's about.
That's right. And as we sing the show tune to go into our break, he'll be coming around the mountain when he comes. He'll be coming around the mountain when he comes. He'll be coming around the mountain. He'll be coming around the mountain. He'll be coming around the mountain of adversity when he comes.
Boy, I'll tell you what, we got to have a little chorus group here. You got Wes, you got you. We could do some karaoke. I wouldn't be good. I'm the worst of the whalers. I come from, as I've told you many times, a long list of noted whalers in my family. It's not good.
Well, you know, we just get you a harpoon, Wolfie, if you fit right in. You know
indeed.
What I'm saying? Just, yeah, that's all we need. I mean, we need to get the locker room triplet going, you know? Can't say barbershop quartet, couldn't say quintet. It's a triplet.
Well,
we got Johnny in the booth. I mean, he could be, you know, like Salt and Pepper was a rap group, obviously a duo, and they had DJ Spinderella. I mean, Wes could be our DJ Spinderella.
What do you think about that, Wes? Wes might be attending to other business. All right, we better go.
Well, you know what? On that note, hopefully he sends us to break when I make
this
amazing.
I'm here.
Okay, there he is. All right. You're
I'm like
DJ,
the waiter back here balancing plates, you know?
Exactly. DJ Wes Durella. You know,
can we go
to break? No. No, you're in the locker room. It's Wolf, it's Starks, and it's Euler. That's right. Euler doesn't get a day off, unlike Bueller. But we'll be back in a minute for the bell lap here in the locker room on ESPN SNR Radio.
This is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Whew. Yep. I said it before and I'll say it again. Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
Of course, that's Ferris Bueller. And we've got Wesley Bueller in the house.
Anyone? Anyone?
Bueller? Anyone?
Bueller. Euler. Euler. Ferris Euler.
I got to tell you guys, I mean, this probably won't surprise you, but you'll laugh. I had a English/broadcasting teacher growing up, okay? His name was Don Cooley, great guy, part of the reason why I got into this industry. And every time we'd have broadcast, you know, like meetings, broadcast club, all that stuff in high school, he would start by doing roll call, and he would get to my name at the end, and he'd go, Euler, anyone, anyone, Euler, anyone, anyone, every single time.
And he was yeah, in on it, right? I mean, he understood what he was doing.
Absolutely. Okay.
Yeah, I just want to make sure it wasn't one of those idiots that he's making a great joke and he doesn't know what he's even making a great joke.
No, he was on it. Yeah. He was on it. So I've gotten those Ferris Bueller, Wesley Euler juxtapositions my whole life, for sure. And I love it.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
all right.
Perfect.
Max, turning our attention a little bit ahead. We're thinking about Deshaun Watson. 5 games. He's only averaging around 57% in completion percentage, 872 yards, 5 TDs, 3 interceptions. His QBR is down around in the 50s. Is this what Cleveland expected from him, or is this what you expect when you've been out of football for 2 years?
Well, I think it's kind of goes hand in hand. Mm-hmm. I think it is 700 days in between, you know, his first start and his last start. Obviously, now he's 5 games in. But I think Cleveland absolutely predicted this. That's why, you know, they made the structural changes to his salary to make sure that he wasn't affected by it, because they knew that there was going to be a bunch of investigations and whether he would be able to play or not. I think it worked out for the Browns that he at least got to take live snaps this season. Because mm-hmm. that was before kind of off the table, right? It was almost very tough to believe that he would even get snaps. So I think from that perspective, they're fine with it, just because they know that he has to work off the rust and he has to really get to know these guys in game time situations. But he's so well equipped with the pieces around him to really do some things, I think, come next year. But for us, the good thing is, I don't think that'll happen this year. I think that has kind of passed as far as seeing this meteoric jump in him. You see that he is a quarterback that is really rusty. 2 years worth of rust, you know, is on him. So he's trying to constantly WD-40 himself to get back into rhythm. But, you know, at this point in the year with where you're at versus where the rest of the team is at, it's going to be tough to play catch up and try and be on an equal playing field.
It's going to be tough, absolutely. You know, I mean, I'm just looking at his stats. He's rushed for 131 yards, 4.4 average, 1 yard TD. One TD, and 21 yards rushing was his longest. I guess I wasn't surprised about the passing, because that's going to come. You know what I mean? Matter of fact, this last game was really his best outing thus far. 3 TDs, no INTs. And you can take a look, and he's, you know, steadily forward game here, there, backwards over the 5. But I kind of thought you'd probably see him use his legs more than what we've seen, just because of the fact that, you know, when you're kind of getting your bearings, you're shaking the rust off. The one thing he can always go to is being able to slip out of that pocket and use his athleticism.
Well, and I think it's something that he's trying to be a pocket passer.
Yeah.
Right. I think a lot of the stuff in Houston was designed because the play literally broke down. Like, he did not have a great offensive line in front of him.
Mm.
And so he had to make his own fortune. I think now he realizes how good his offensive line is.
Sure.
I don't need to run. I can stay in the pocket. I can hang in the pocket because I know my offensive line is going to block for me. And I think that's kind of where the biggest shift is. I think if he got more pressure on him, then he most definitely would become a runner. But, you know, that just goes to show you, like, the nuance of quarterbacking, right? You know, just because we see it doesn't mean that's their forte or their specialty or their go-to. And I think for Deshaun Watson, it was more necessity instead of it being a go-to, and just became a go-to because he's had to do it so many times necessarily.
Mm. Well, interestingly enough, this guy's been sacked 13 times in 5 games. I mean, my hope is, you know, again, this is something I think the Steelers can get after him with. And it's going to be a situation where I think you can play a little bit with him in the sense of some of the things you're able to present him with defensively that might just, you know, make him double clutch a little bit because he's still early. This is only game number 6 for him back in live time. He's kind of progressing along, and I know he's got a wealth of history behind him, but when you take 2 years off, it takes some time to get that ring rust off.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's going to take time. I mean, this isn't something where you just spray it and it just falls off. You know what I'm saying? Like 700, think about that. Well, 700 days, that's 2 full seasons.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's 2 years off of throwing a football. I mean, that's a lot. I mean, I just applaud him for being able to get it out of his hands.
Yeah.
In a judicious time. Because that's the other thing. It messes with your timing.
Sure.
You know, if you're sitting there pounding, that's why he's got 13 sacks in 5 games, because he's not used to the timing of his receivers. He doesn't know how exactly they run a 12-yard dig, right? You're guessing. And, right. You know, for all the rhythm throws and everything else, you know, he's got to develop that rapport. And the guys have to trust him as well. And that's what they're building. Remember, it took a minute for Kenny to stick when he first came in for Mitch Trubisky, right?
Yep. Yep.
He didn't throw a single passing touchdown, and he threw 3 interceptions and had to rush for it. So, you know, I think that's kind of what you have to expect as well. And the good thing is he won't get into his 8th game in his stride until next year, which is good for us. So I will take that.
Yes, I'll take that too.
Yes, exactly. In fact, I'll take it twice on Sunday.
All right, my good man.
But yeah, Wolf, it's been a great show. Glad to be back in the saddle with you, bud.
You were missed, as always, brother.
I know, but hopefully my gallivanting around the greater United States and its continental counterparts is come to a minimum as we finish the season up. But I will be in the stadium on Sunday.
And I will see you there, my friend.
I can promise you that for sure. But you know what? We're coming back tomorrow. Same bat channel, same bat time, 10 to noon Eastern for your listening pleasure. And we will open up the phone lines. We promise. We didn't get a chance today, but we will open up the phone lines tomorrow to hear your thoughts. We want to hear about DeMar. We want to hear about the game this weekend, your thoughts on the season, tickling with the playoff ear a little bit with our opportunity. Let's hear it all here in the locker room tomorrow. You've been listening to Wolf and Starks and, of course, Johnny himself, Euler, in the engineering booth. To everyone here at In the Locker Room, we thank you. Have a great day.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.